In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Consoler, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Well, we're working today on the preparation for the third Sunday in the Easter cycle. And as you know, I've been using this first section to talk about the journey to holiness. We looked at the purgative way last time, and this time I want to talk about the illuminative way. The key in all of these ways, all of the saints tell us this, is prayer. Because in prayer, we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the force in prayer. I've quoted this many times before. Christian prayer is a work of God and man. It is the work of the Holy Spirit and ourselves. Therefore, it is yielding to the Holy Spirit. Learning to do that in prayer, which requires some concerted effort and some being able to sit still in silence and not always be thinking of other things or reading, but just yielding to the Spirit, that's the way we grow in holiness. The illuminative way, I'm going to read a couple of texts. One is from Benedict the 16th. A holy life, he says, is not principally the result of our efforts, as it is God who renders us holy. And it is the action of His Spirit which animates us from within. The same life of Christ resurrected, which is communicated to us and transforms us. Saintliness is therefore ultimately rooted in baptismal grace and being introduced to the paschal mystery of Christ, by which His Spirit, His resurrected life, is communicated to us. But God always respects our freedom and asks us to accept this gift and to live with the demands it brings. Now you can see that if we're distracted, occupied, or flirting with certain sins, we're not going to yield to the Holy Spirit. We won't even know He's moving. Therefore, as all the saints tell us, St. Teresa of Avila, when she finally got religion, was praying an hour a day, which is about right. She had a big hourglass, and she would turn it, and she promises this herself. She acknowledges this herself. She would sit there praying and watching that hourglass. She couldn't wait till all the sand had gone down. It was that hard for her. Well, it's hard for all of us at times. And other times, it's a source of immense consolation. And so, the illuminative way is the way in which there is a certain amount of discipline being acquired, and with it, a certain stability. I want to read precisely this quote from Teresa of Avila about people in the illuminative way, that is, growing in a faith understanding through a faith experience, founded on prayer. If we're not praying, we will never get anywhere. It's that simple. You got to fight for a life of prayer. I remember some two young people were here interviewing me about evangelization. The last question they asked me was, what is the secret of evangelization? I said, the secret of evangelization is a fanatical commitment to a life of prayer. Because then you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, and if He says, go preach to that person, help that person, you know it. This is Teresa. I believe that through the goodness of God, there are many of these souls, these people in the illuminative way. They long not to offend His Majesty, even guarding themselves against venial sins. You see this a lot in fervent Christian homes. They are fond of doing penance and setting aside periods of recollection. They spend their time well, practicing works of charity toward their neighbors, and are very balanced in their use of speech and dress and in the governing of their households, those who have them. Certainly, this is a state to be desired. And in my opinion, there was no reason why entrance, even to the final dwelling place, should be denied these souls. Nor will the Lord deny them this interest if they desire it. For such a desire is an excellent way to prepare oneself so that every favor may be granted. So as we move out of fighting with sin, fighting our desire to wish I could go on sinning, and move into a more peaceful area governed by prayer, all of a sudden we come, first thing, characteristic, a lot of what I'm going to say now, you can find in Ralph Martin's book, Satisfaction of All Desire, or the Fulfillment of All Desire. This is how Paul talks to his Christians. Paul is speaking to the Galatians, and he says, walk by the Spirit, yield to the Spirit. The whole secret of this life is yielding to the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now he lists for them and for us the disease of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, and all that leads to sorcery, all the New Age stuff, all the Wicca stuff. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Bernard says, sin darkens the soul. Its attachment to earthly things, which all tend to destruction, makes the darkness deeper. Until a soul which lives this way has only a pallid appearance, the very image of death. Now the second characteristic of entering into this delightful, peaceful, some kind of authority over our life, which comes with this section. You see, we're not pushed around by the things that Paul just talked about. This is God the Father talking to Catherine of Siena about somebody entering this way of life. Nor do I want the soul to think about her sins individually, lest her mind be contaminated by the memory of specific ugly sins. I mean that I do not want her to, nor should she, think about her sins, either in general or specifically, without calling to mind the blood and the greatness of my mercy. Otherwise, she will only be confounded. For if self-knowledge and the thought of sin are not seasoned with the remembrance of the blood and hope for mercy, the result is bound to be confusion. This is so important. Think of the mercy of God. The other quality which you find when you're starting to move in this area is desire. Now, there's a key here. You see, the Lord pulls us by desire so that we come to the point where we say to God, I'll trade you any sin I've got if I can just know you better. You see how he's pulling us by desire? He wants that. And if we will yield to that and get sin out of our life little by little and be stable, such a peace comes. And if we persevere in that for several months, we never want to go back to another way of life. We want to push ahead. And, you see, it means that we're moving in the direction in which finally we can preach. Because we will know these realities in our spirit and talk about these realities from our own spiritual experience under the guidance and the authority of the Word of God. This is what Teresa of Avila says. Have great confidence, for it is necessary not to hold back one's desires, but to believe in God that if we try, we shall little by little, even though it may not be soon, reach the state the saints did with his help.
That's pretty optimistic, huh? You want to be a saint? Just start with a life of prayer and fighting against the obvious sins, calling on the Lord, and being alert to the movement of the Holy Spirit. All of this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's so hard for us because in Western spirituality these days, we don't ever talk about the Holy Spirit. The Pope does, but the rest of us don't do a lot of it, you know, and we should. So that is the some of these characteristics. Now, I'm going to read you a long quote from St. Bernard on the Song of Songs. These, they're all out in paperback now. The translation is a very good translation. And you get the idea. I want to talk a little bit about awareness of the Holy Spirit, inner freedom, and growth in love. Just a minute or two on each one. Are there not surely some among you who at certain times perceive deep within their heart the Spirit of the Son exclaiming, Abba, Father? Yes. Let that man who feels that he is moved by the same Spirit as the Son, let him know that he too is loved by the Father. Whoever he be, let him be of good heart, lest his confidence never waver. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. If we practice, if we yield, I think I told you once, I was just 20 years old, my first few days in the monastery, and I was praying in the chapel, and I felt this movement in me saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. I mean, I didn't know anything, and I wasn't free of vice. And when it was over, this is how much scripture I knew then, I said, I think that's in the Bible someplace. That's what how much I knew. Then there's inner freedom, you see. What rocks our freedom? See, freedom isn't to do what we want. Freedom is the capacity to develop by choosing the good. That's what freedom is our capacity to realize our potential through the right choices. And so, this is John of the Cross. No, I'm going to skip him because we're running short on time. This is St. Bernard. The fraternal love that I exercise, my zeal for righteousness, is the fruit of my beloved's love in me. You get it? If we work at this, we will start to be aware of the Spirit's movement in us. Another capacity, another aspect of this illuminative way is a growth in love. Now, we men particularly don't really get it, you know. It takes a while to learn this spontaneous gift of oneself. Oh, sure, if you're dating a girl and you like her a lot, but it's got to go deep. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a growth in love for God and for people. So that you can walk down the street and have your heart torn by seeing all the lonely people who don't know where they're going or what they're doing, and just want to stop and shout, Jesus Christ loves you. Or to be able to forgive somebody we never forgave before. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you a story. I hope we have time. Congar tells this. There's a conversation of Alexander Skrema, the Orthodox theologian, after we put out the doctrine in the church, the document. He asked Skrema, what do you think of it? He said, it's very fine. But if we Orthodox were to do this, all we would do is put out a treatise on anthropology and the Holy Spirit. All right, that's that.